All right, boys and girls, you may be wow, that's some juice. You may be dismissed, boys and girls, to your special service this evening. I'll invite the rest of you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 this evening as we continue our study of this passage. I just want to tell you, it's been a wonderful week. I've really enjoyed my time with y'all, and thank you for your attentiveness this week and just being here, your attendance. I know life is busy. I know many of you have put in very long days. You've got very busy schedules, and this is out of the norm for you, and it's tiring and maybe exhausting. And boy, thank you for being here and putting yourself where you can receive the blessing from God's Word that He has for you. And I hope you'll be back tomorrow night and Friday as we finish out this very short section of 2 Peter, our theme of knowing Christ and growing in Christ. Just let me remind you of 2 Peter 3:18, the last verse in the book. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As we are growing in Christ and knowing Christ, that will cause our lives to bring God glory now, and it will also produce fruit that brings God glory for eternity. So let's look tonight as we look at our next verse in our passage is verse number 5. Last night we saw that we've been received, those of us who have this precious faith in Christ, we have received these precious promises, and we're a partaker of the divine nature, and we have fully escaped the corruption that is in this current age and the sinful desires that are in it. And then he says in verse 5, look with me please at verse 5, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. As our verse begins, number 5 begins, he says, and beside this, another way that can be translated is for this very reason. Here's the idea. He's saying, for this reason. And what reason is he referring to? Well, you see how the text builds. He's referring back to verse number 4. Here's the reason. Because you have received these exceeding great and precious promises from God. And by those promises, you are a partaker of the divine nature. You have the very life of Christ. And you have been freed from the bondage of the sinful desires that are in this age. He says, for this reason, there's something, a responsibility that is laid upon us. Look at the next word in verse 5. He said, and beside this, giving, next word, all, third, diligence. The phrase giving all diligence is the idea of to make every effort. The way I like to put it is maximum effort. Now, stop for just a second. Let me ask you, what is it that you really enjoy doing? What is it you put a lot of effort into? Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you like to draw. Maybe you're a music person. Perhaps you are, maybe you like sports. I have no idea what it is that you like to do. Maybe you love work. You're one of those workaholics and you want to be the best that you can be at your job and you're constantly pouring yourself into your job. Me, I like to hunt. So this truth really came into play in my life one day. I was, you ever have one of those days that doesn't go right? You ever had that happen to you? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work. And so I had one of those days, you know, you don't get up normally. You have different things come out of the routine. And so it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I happened to be at home. And I was just shooting my bow. I love archery. I was shooting my compound bow. And I was practicing a little bit longer distances. I was shooting at 60 yards. And I'd been doing a little shooting. And if you shoot longer distance, it shows the flaws in your form. So it makes you really have to concentrate and make sure that every part of your technique is correct. And so I was really having to concentrate, whatever, and I'll never forget this. I was standing there in my yard. It was a kind of a blustery fall day, and I was at full draw, and I was just getting my pin settled on my target when the Spirit of God brought this thought into my heart. Have you put as much effort into your relationship with me today as you're putting in to be a good archer? See, my day hadn't started out normal. I hadn't spent 1 minute in God's Word. I hadn't spent any time in prayer. Maybe threw something up over my breakfast. And I was so convicted. I didn't even shoot the arrow. I let my arrow down. I took my bow. I put it away. And I went, and I had about a 45-minute walk, talk with God, and I sat down and got in God's Word. Look at me. You know what the problem with many of us as believers is we don't put effort into our relationship with Christ. I said this before. I'm going to say it again. The Christian life is not passive. When he says giving all diligence, he is laying a responsibility on us. Yes, you are a partaker of the divine nature, and yes, you have been completely freed from the sin, but you have a responsibility to give all diligence, to make every effort in your Christian life. And it's time that we stopped making excuses and we started being diligent. Some of you wonder why you get so little out of your Christian walk. It's because you're putting so little into it. And it's amazing what has grabbed our attention and our affections and our energies, and it has distracted us, and why we have weak, anemic, immature believers who've been saved for long periods of time, and the reality is they may know a lot of facts, but their faith is weak because they've not been supplying, as we're going to see in just a moment, to their faith these things that God says we're to be working hard at to do. Don't forget this. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this, exercise thyself. The word exercise, Greek word gymnazo, is to sweat, to toil to the point of exhaustion. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. It means that the benefit is temporary, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That means godliness is worth putting effort into, because you will receive benefits now and in time to come, not only in this life, but also in eternity. And he says, maximum effort, give all diligence to do something very specific. Look at the next word. He says, giving all diligence, add. And he says, add to your faith. The word add here literally means to supply generously. It is to supply in addition to. It calls for specific action with a note of urgency, to provide, to exceed what's expected, to give generously or lavishly. This word was used in a lot of different situations in the culture, but it was the idea of to supply or to make sure something wasn't lacking. It was used a lot of times in the choral sense. Music. Back then, these guys, they'd want to have a choir or they'd want to have an orchestra, and what they were responsible for providing what their choir or orchestra needed to perform. And so if they wanted to be well known and get supporters and donors and make money and be well respected, then they had to make sure that the people in their choir, in their orchestra, had everything they needed to make sure they weren't lacking in anything. And that's the same word that he uses in this text. He says, add to your faith. Now listen, he's not saying add to it for salvation. You don't want to add anything to faith in order to be saved. It's adding to your faith because of salvation. Look, let me illustrate it this way. Faith is the foundation. What he's talking about here now is the structure and the beauty of the Christian life. Okay? The faith is our foundation. And he says you are to be supplying, you are to add generously, and you are to work hard at supplying and make sure your life is not lacking in these things. And by the way, bad news for you, this is not a menu. Don't you like going? I love going out to eat. It's awesome. I love going different places. You look at the menu. You know what the menu is? It's got, you know, pictures and numbers and letters, and pictures are best. And it tells you what's in there. And so you order on it what you like. Do you know why I don't order fish and broccoli? You know why I don't do that? Because I don't like it. Look at me. Quit treating God's word like a menu. Pick and choose what you like and don't like. No, and listen, this list is not just for me as an evangelist or Pastor Schlegel as a pastor. This is for every believer. Add to your faith, and here's the list. Now, we're not going to go through all of them tonight, but we're going to start. We got two. First of all, look at the first one he mentioned. He says, add to your faith virtue. The word virtue here is moral excellence. It was used in the Greek culture as something that stood out as being excellent. Here's another kind of awkwardly worded definition that they would use it for, but it was this. Are you ready? The fulfillment of a thing. And here's what it meant. When something was designed or built to accomplish a specific task, and then it accomplished what it was supposed to do, it fulfilled the purpose for which it was built or made or designed, that thing was said to be of virtue. Believer, you were designed by God to bring Him glory. And when your life brings Him glory, you fulfill His purpose in your life. That is bringing Him glory. Your life can be said it's a value. It fulfills your purpose, and that's done. He's in specific here, virtue, moral excellence. The qualities by which one stands out as being excellent. I ask you, if I were to ask you a question tonight, When you think of that word virtue, when you think of the virtues of Jesus Christ, what do you think of? Because he's the one that we're supposed to be looking to. Well, it's talking of moral excellence, the character of honesty, moral purity, kindness, humility, serving the needs of others, and on the list goes. He says you are to be putting effort into having moral excellence. Why? Because our faith in Christ is to be manifested in how we live. We've already talked a little bit about this week, but I just want to remind you, James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I will show you my faith. How does he say? You say you have faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show you my faith. How? By my works. That's the faith is the foundation. And he says, listen, there is a change when we're saved. This saving faith in Jesus Christ transforms us. We've got a new nature. Don't forget that this verse is following verse 4. You're a partaker of the divine nature. You've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So you who before you were saved in your sinful nature, you were liars. And you were gossipers, and you were mean, and you were cranky, and you cursed, and you swore, and you were dishonest, and you lied, and you cheated, and you stole, and you were immoral, and you were in immorality, or pornography, or whatever. You're changed, and now you have a new nature, and that's to be reflected. Now you've been freed from that. Now you're to be honest, and kind, and pure, and everything else that you're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. And he's making it very plain to us here. Listen, you're to add to your faith virtue. Why? Because this is a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what it looks like. It says, add to your faith virtue. 1 Corinthians 10:31, I think, puts it pretty plain to us. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. Look, in other words, the gospel affects all of our life. And if we are going to live a life of virtue, there's nothing too mundane for the believer. There's no part of our Christian life that is too mundane. Eating, drinking, whatever you do, it all brings glory to God. Philippians 1:11, I love this verse, says this, being filled, and that word means, it's how I like my sweet tea. By the way, there's two kinds of tea in this world. There's safe tea and there's unsafe tea. Safe tea is sweet, all right? And you northerners drink this unsweet stuff, that's not good tea, all right? When I have my tea, when I'm down in South Carolina and I'm getting good sweet tea, or my wife knows how to make good sweet tea, I like it filled all the way to the top to where one more drop makes it spill over. That's what the word filled means. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise and glory of God. He says, your life is to be filled to the point of overflowing with the fruits, the outward evidence of right living, which are by Jesus Christ. It comes as a result of our walk with him, knowing Christ, growing in Christ, being like him, and it all causes, the whole point of it is, it brings praise and glory to God, unto the glory of our God. He is worthy. He says you're to add to your life virtue. Number two, we'll finish out with this one. He says, and to virtue, we are to add knowledge. We've seen this already, twice in just this short time. This is the third time we've seen this word knowledge. I hope you understand how important it is in our text. It is the idea, again, of that genuine, real, biblical, rational knowledge, objective truth that's from the Word of God about Jesus Christ. And it's going through life with God, taking the truth of His Word and finding it to be genuine and true and real in my own life. One commentator put it this way. It said that knowledge is the ability to handle life successfully from the Word of God. It's truth that is properly understood and applied. Here's what this doesn't mean. Some of you think, I got to add knowledge. So I'm going to go buy a commentary. I'm going to go start memorizing more facts. Look, believer, the majority of you, especially those of you who have been saved, and many of you are second and third generation Christians, you don't need any more facts. You don't need to go memorize all the kings in the Old Testament in order and know who begat who and when and what kingdom they were under. The reality is that we need to not know more biblical facts, but we need to understand biblical truth and how it connects to my daily walk in life and living. I have met believers who've got headfuls of knowledge and they know fact after fact But when it comes to living out their relationship with Christ by living a life of biblical obedience, there's a huge disconnect. And that word knowledge is this: it's understanding truth, applying truth, obeying truth. It is not just knowing with facts, it is a personal, real, growing understanding of my God through His Word, and it affects my life. It affects how I live. We are to be focused on our God and His Word and take God's truth and allow it to change us, to grow us. I want to ask you a question tonight. All of those of you who are parents, you've experienced at some point. Have you ever, when you go and you see your parent, your grandparents, they haven't seen the kids for a while, and they see my boy. I can remember my parents still live in Star, South Carolina. And so we wouldn't see them for 6 or 7, 8 months, and we'd go down for Thanksgiving, and the boys would get out of the car, and the first things out of my mom and dad's mouth when they saw my boys almost every time was, oh, my, have you grown? Right? And, of course, you know, we're looking at, you know how it is, parents. You ever notice your kids like this? Like, one day, their clothes fit. Everything's great. And then one day, they come to school and look like this. They're like, what's going on here? My point is this. Look, I'm not asking you this. Some people, they mean well, but, you know, we need to know God better and better every day. We're not talking about that kind of measuring. You don't have to have some amazing, life-changing, mind-blowing truth about God today I learned today that I didn't know about Him yesterday. It's not the point. My question to you is this. Do you know your God in a more personal and real and genuine way because you have connected the Word of God and the person of your God, our Heavenly Father? You have connected the reality of our God and His Word to your own personal life and experience, and you have a better, thorough, more specific, real understanding of who your God is than you did a year ago? I can tell you I have. And I could stand up here for the next, I don't know, hour and give you story after story of how God has taken me through different trials and difficulties. I'll tell you, when we thought my wife had cancer, I'll tell you what, I knew God was my shepherd. I knew He was a God of comfort. But I'm going to tell you what, after going through that, I know in a whole different way than I did before. I know God's Jehovah Jireh. I know He's a God who provides. After 14 years in evangelism, holy smokes, I've seen God provide in so many unique and unbelievable ways for me and for our family. I know it in a more real and exact way than I did when I started. And He still blows it my mind year after year how He's so good to us. And I could go on and on. Listen, folks, I'm not asking you, do you know God better today than you did yesterday? But in the life of a believer, if you're to be adding to your faith, you ought to know your God in a more real, genuine, specific, personal way today than you did a year or so ago. I think that's a legitimate question to ask ourselves. I want to ask you a question tonight. Our time is done. Based upon the reason God has given us, because we've been given these exceeding great and precious promises, because we are partaker of the divine nature, and because we have been freed from the corrupting power of sin that is in this current age. For that reason, are you giving all diligence? Can I ask you a question? Would you be honest with God and honest with yourself? How much effort are you putting to in your relationship with God? How much effort are you putting into adding to your faith these things? And by the way, every one of these specific things that we find listed requires specific energy and specific focus. Are you adding, are you supplying to your faith the foundation? Just two things tonight, virtue. Look at your life. Ask God tonight in our time of reflection and response. Am I like Christ? Is there kindness? Is there humility? Is there forgiveness? Is there honesty? Is there moral purity? It's not just we're not talking about the character that you've put out in front that everybody thinks you are. What about who God knows you to truly be? May we ask God to help us to be diligent in adding to our faith virtue. What about knowledge? Knowing God through His Word.
Is your knowledge of Him growing? Are you working at knowing your God through His Word, through prayer, through meditation on the Scripture, maybe even through memorizing of passages or verses to help you to meditate on the truth of God so that as you're going through life and going through the day, you can bring God's truth to your mind and meditate on His Word to help you connect your God and His Word to your life and your living, to help you to know Him. Jeremiah put it this way, let not the rich man glory in his riches, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him that glorieth glory in this, he understandeth and knoweth me. What a humbling thing it is to know that we can know God. We can walk with Him daily. I don't know how God may have used His Word in your heart this evening, but in our time of reflection and response, would you give serious reflection and meditation to the truth? Don't compare yourself with other people. This is for you. And would you be so bold as to, in your heart, say, Lord, am I giving deal? Am I putting maximum effort? Am I putting every effort into adding to my faith virtue and knowledge? And if God's brought something to your heart and mind, would you, at that time, acknowledge that to Him? Deal with that in a time of quietness. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed together this evening. And let's take a couple minutes of quiet just to reflect on God's truth and to respond in obedience to His Word.